This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
We are off and rolling. New year, new us, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show. It's Monday, January 5th, 2025. Welcome into the Gabe Kuhn Show. I am your host, back from a extended vacation out in on the West Coast, Southern California in San Diego. But I'm back. I'm Gabe Kuhn on X at G_Kuhn71. I am your host. I'm alongside the executive producer of the show. That would be Connor Dunning. He filled in wonderfully, masterfully alongside George Ruggiero, King George, but he is on X. Connor is at CDunning929. Connor, how are you, man?
How are you? Welcome back.
It was crazy to see your face today, to be honest with you. It feels like forever ago since I've been sitting in this seat. But shows went well.
Everything shows went very well.
Your Christmas holiday?
Holiday went very well.
New Year?
Good holiday. New Year was a little tricky.
Same.
Little
same,
tricky.
Same.
Yeah.
You don't have to share, but I will share. You, I don't know if it was you with the setup, with getting food poisoning twice.
Yes.
Along the way as we got to the last couple months of the new of 2025. But
once in September, once in December.
I got a form of it. Got a form of it while I was in San Diego. Landed on that Friday. Saturday, Sunday smooth. Monday smooth. Tuesday, cousin comes over with his wife. We all have dinner. We go out to a fish shop.
Oh, man.
I ordered some Ensenada style fish tacos. So a little spicy, with a little mayo on top of some mahi. Mahi. I ate them. They tasted good. Had some dessert. And about 9 o'clock hit. And I had to rid myself of all evils. I mean, I was in the bathroom the rest of the night.
Yeah.
9 to about 5 a.m.
And then
in the bathroom.
It just stops. It just stops. That's the weirdest part
well,
about food poisoning.
It stops because there's nothing left for you to.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it lasts for like 12 hours.
Yes.
Almost like nearly 12 hours of just hell on earth.
Then we figured
out.
Then
it'll go away.
This is why I said it was food poisoning to try to add to the drama of it all. Figured out it was not food poisoning because my brother's girlfriend, my mom, and my son. Myers.
Oh, no.
Ended up getting some form of the bug that I had.
Oh,
there was that.
No.
So that was my leading up to New Year. By the time we got to New Year's Eve, it was me, my wife, and my dad sitting on the couch with everybody else just nowhere to be found. No one, like everybody was out of commission. So we split a bottle of champagne. Maybe two bottles if you...
That's not a terrible
if you're okay with that
30s New Year's. Besides, you know, the vomiting
and it was. I had a great time. I'm not. Like, it was awesome to be around family for the holidays. It did rain, like it was like, it was. I mean, I don't know if you got to see like the Rose Parade and everything in L.A., but and how they had to clean up the field for the Rose Bowl.
I did see that.
But it was, it was monsoon season in Southern California.
Happy holidays.
Yeah, happy holidays.
Welcome back.
But I'm glad to be back, and we have plenty to get to. 3 hours of talk on the way, courtesy of 92.9 FM ESPN, and yours truly will catch up. We'll talk some college football playoff, but I do want to start on that game last night. I just need to tell you, 5 o'clock, David Cobb will join the show. 6 o'clock, Harold Grader will join the show. I thought a very successful, it was rainy, so I'm sure that affected the crowd, but a successful 67th AutoZone Liberty Bowl with Navy getting over top, handling business against Cincinnati.
For some reason every year, the Liberty Bowl is either the most it's ever rained or the coldest it's ever been in Memphis, or both. It's always.
How cold was it on that?
I don't know how cold. I can't remember.
But it was raining.
It's been cold. It has been cold, but it was absolutely raining. Yes. It's just, I have been at many Liberty Bowls where I am either soaked or freezing my ass off or both. And you know what? Every single time, it's a great time.
Yes. All right. Now, and they have that. We're gonna have to talk with Harold about like the future of the bowl game and bowl games in general, bowl season, because there's a lot of contracts that are coming up this year, and they're gonna have to wait for the CFP to do some maneuvering. I want to pick Harold's brain, because the questions they're asking themselves right this second, these bowl officials are they're unprecedented. They don't know who they're. Schools are going to be. They don't know what type of representation they're going to have from these conferences.
Don't know who the players
are
going to be.
They don't know if the players are ever going to want to be involved as
coaches.
They have been in the past. So, like, I don't have these easy answers, but maybe Harold and the people at the wonderful AutoZone Liberty will have some ideas about where to go from here. And I don't want to just sit here and say, well, keep it fresh and keep it new, because I don't know if that would help.
Right.
There's got to be some new, fresh ideas inserted into bowl season to keep some semblance of what we have known in the past, even though I fear that we're too far gone. But we'll talk to Harold about that at 6 o'clock, Blitz at 6:30, Trip Around the NFL at 5:30. We have a lot to get to with the NFL, with all 14 teams that are going to be in the playoffs. But let's go ahead and start with that game last night. Phenomenal. In a pretty bad way. The AFC North was not good, but you had two teams, the Ravens and the Steelers, and the Ravens, who started, 1-5?
Yep.
They're trying to battle it out for the last playoff spot. I still think it's ridiculous that they get a 4 seed in a home game. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, considering that that division was absolutely awful. But it came down to a final kick, Connor. And I have to give credit where credit's due. Sunday Night Football always does a good job with their broadcast. But Mike Tirico, I don't know if he gets the credit he deserves, but his lead-in to Tyler Loop's missed field goal, I'm going to play it right here. I thought it was phenomenal. It created a perfect sensation. It created the exact story that needed to be told at that moment. Go ahead and play it.
And Harbaugh is telling Likely how special that play was to set up this moment for the rookie out of Arizona. The Ravens, of course, had Justin Tucker for so long. The most accurate kicker in the history of the league. Rodgers can't believe what he has just witnessed. It might be the end for him. But they went around the country and spoke to a lot of the kickers who were coming out. And they decided Tyler Loop was made of the right stuff for moments like this. He now has a chance to win the division for the Ravens. The final play of the regular season for the final spot in the playoffs. Tyler Loop from 44. Snap good. Holman, the kick is good. Champions of the North!
Unbelievable job by Mike Tirico, making it very clear. Tyler Loop's been great. They've expected a lot of him. He's made of the right stuff for moments like this. That's why they felt comfortable going with him after years and years and years of having the most accurate kicker of all time in Justin Tucker. And of course, comes off the foot, looks nice. And it started tailing pretty quickly. But also, don't forget, he could have won that game because ultimately, Chris Boswell on the other end, after the touchdown scored by the Steelers, missed an extra point. So, listen, that's how the AFC North needed to be sorted out this year. So the final playoff spot ends up in the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers with their retirement home that they have built there at Acrisure Stadium. But Aaron Rodgers back in the playoffs. How are we feeling about it? What do we think about this Steelers team? The defense they have, they haven't been overly injured by any stretch of the imagination, but they punched their ticket to have a home game 4 seed overall in the AFC.
I think Rodgers overall deserves credit for a good season. He had a good season for the Steelers, helped get them to the playoffs again, which they've been a mainstay in the playoffs since Mike Tomlin has been there. But I think I would feel a lot better about them in their AFC wildcard matchup if they weren't going up against the Texans, who are red hot right now.
Yes.
With maybe the best defense in football.
Yes, and that leads me into just generally the wildcard games. Super wildcard weekend is set for this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's the Monday night matchup.
It's some good games.
I think some good games, but I do want to circle back to this Texans
okay.
and Steelers game. Rams-Panthers, probably the worst game on the card, just looking at it. Rams are 10.5-point favorites. I think the Rams are a substantially better team than the Panthers, but the Panthers have been very plucky. Sort of, they're on 1 week, they're off 1 week.
I can't believe the Panthers are a playoff team.
You hope that they're on this week.
Every time I look at the bracket, I'm like, is this a typo?
Yeah.
But no, the Panthers are in there.
Good for the Panthers. And if you know Carolina Mick or Carolina Mike?
No.
The guy who does the song for them?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, he's hyped up. I'll have to show you that at some break. It's hilarious. But yeah, this one, not that great in the end of the day. But what Panthers team do you see? They could make it interesting and cover. I don't think they beat the Rams straight up, though, with the way the Rams have paced this season. Then you'll have Packers-Bears, third time.
They split it.
Now we have a wild card matchup to punch your ticket to the divisional round between the same two teams. Now, here's the problem, I think, inherently for the Packers. Road game in Chicago, everybody's going to be fired up. At Soldier Field. And the Packers are limping into the playoffs. They just are. Malik Willis went down. Jordan Love's down. He's got some things he's got to figure out. Micah Parsons, their best pass rusher, is out. They have other injuries along the way. Their wide receiver room is just in and out every single. We have no idea who's going to play. Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, you know, who's actually going to run out there and play. So, like, that one looks to me like the Bears, but the Packers obviously have more experience in these moments than the Bears do.
That's why, if you're a Bears fan, you're feeling great right now. Caleb Williams put on a fantastic season. I don't think he hit 4,000 yards, but he got damn close. He had the most passing yards.
Set the record, franchise
right.
record.
He set the record, didn't get to 4,000, but he set the record. You beat the Packers in dramatic fashion last game. It would also be the most Bears thing of all time to make it to the playoffs, have to play the Packers for a third time. They're limping in.
And you lose.
And lose. So if you're a Packers fan, or if you're a Bears fan, you're feeling confident, and you should feel confident. It was a really good season from the Bears. Caleb Williams is playing good football right now. But that Packers team has just been a thorn in your side for years and years and years. So can you get over the Packers hump?
Caleb Williams, 3,838 yards. So not to 4,000, but he set the franchise record.
Almost.
And here's what I'll say. Like, having been with my brother, who works at 670 The Score this entire time, I talked to him about the 4,000 yards thing. And he goes, only the lame duck Bears fans are talking about that. I would trade in 2 seed
absolutely
for less than 4,000 yards for Caleb Williams.
Well,
that's fine.
Their running backs went crazy at the end of the
year.
Yes,
and that was the whole point of Ben Johnson. What did they do in Detroit? They had Jameer Gibbs, David Montgomery. They haven't been the same since, but Jameer Gibbs, David Montgomery, rebuilt offensive line.
Right.
Look what you're able to do. Takes pressure off of the quarterback, which I think Caleb Williams probably needed in year two, having switched the entire, you know, they cleared house. The people that drafted him outside of Ryan Poles, the GM, are not there anymore. So they needed to find a way to take some pressure off a guy who was just touted as a generational prospect.
Man, he got so close to 4,000, too.
Yeah.
He got so close. But really, job this year was don't turn the ball over.
Yes,
and
he did that. And I will say this. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of good quarterbacks in this league, and it's bizarre to me that we're going into a playoff season. No Patrick Mahomes, no Lamar Jackson, no Joe Burrow. Wild. Three of the top four quarterbacks in the National Football League. Nowhere to be seen in the playoffs. But Caleb Williams, some of the throws he is able to make, I mean, even the one last week when it was a free play and he just slung it down there to Colston Loveland over the middle. Or the one over the shoulder to Colston Loveland.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
It was on a rope about 40 yards out. I mean, he is the confidence that is exuding from that kid right now is unbelievable. And I feel like he has the chance in this particular game against the Packers for the third time at home in the playoffs. He has a chance to really take that next step.
Yeah, he can. If he is able to win a playoff game against the Packers at home, we can go ahead and be like franchise quarterback. I think he's already showing the makings of one, but now you have to prove it. It's the playoffs is when you prove you can be a franchise quarterback or not. Caleb Williams, it's your opportunity to prove whether or not you can be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and then Sunday, Bills-Jags. Bills, 1.5-point favorites. Jags, I don't know if everybody's bought into what they're selling yet, but why shouldn't we be bought in to what they're selling? This is a team who's 13-4, knocked off the Broncos a couple weeks ago when they had an 11-game win streak going. They're good offensively. They're good defensively. Liam Cohen has Trevor Lawrence playing the best football, really,
right,
of his entire career. But again, like when you look at the Bills, Josh Allen's Josh Allen. So like that's the big holdup that you have in this game, because if you look at both of these teams and how they've trended the entire season, and sort of looking through the advanced analytics, the numbers, the, you know, rush yards per game, pass yards per game, defensive stats, you would look at the Jags and say they're going to win this ball game, especially at home.
They've just been more consistent.
But Josh Allen just has that ability to pull the rabbit out of the hat.
Right.
So you can't. He's the best. I mean, obviously Matt Stafford. We'll talk about him a little bit later in trip around the NFL and Drake May, but like best proven quarterback in these playoffs at this particular moment. So he's going to be the wild card there. No pun intended. 49ers, Eagles. That's going to be an interesting one.
That's a real interesting
Eagles
one.
Eagles seem to be down, but it's all vibes. 49ers should be down because of all the injuries they had, but they're up. They look great. They look phenomenal. Defensively, I do wonder if they make a deeper run into the playoffs, are they going to be able to hold up, get enough pass rush without Nick Bosa? Are they going to feel comfortable with the linebackers they have in there? Fred Warner may come back. I mean, I saw something about that, but that seems like it would be very quick for him to make an appearance. But going to Philadelphia, it seems like a tough one for them. And the Eagles are 4.5-point favorites. Chargers, Pats. Love the Pats. Chargers, though, offensive line, you're going to have to run the ball. You're going to have to keep Justin Herbert upright. I don't know if the Chargers have done a good job of getting to this point, but everybody on that offensive line is just bad at this moment. They're too injured. But who knows? Maybe they could surprise us. That defense is very, very good. Now back to the Texans Steelers, which will be the Monday night game on ABC. I just want to get my take out there pretty quickly. This is going to be a drog, disgusting game. It's going to be a disgusting game. In the Pittsburgh cold, and I know the Texans' offense has looked a lot better with C.J. Stroud back in there. He's back healthy. It feels like they're moving in the right direction. This game is the lowest total, though, for a reason, 39.5. I expect this game to be absolutely miserable to watch. May the best man win. That's all I have to say about the 4-5 matchup in the AFC.
I would not want to play a cold playoff game in Pittsburgh. It's like, congratulations, you won 9 in a row, had an amazing run. Your reward, Pittsburgh, in January. Have fun.
Yep. And then the one seeds, of course, on both sides, you're going to have Denver. Denver, of course, got the one seed in the AFC. Shout out to them. Pretty impressive what Sean
really
Payton
impressive. Yeah.
has been able to do. Bo Nix stayed the course, although I still think that offense, as I've said the entire season, a little bit up and down. And then the Seattle Seahawks, after knocking off the 49ers, 13-3, get the one seed at 14-3. And there's a list that I have to go through here for the purposes of this conversation. And it has to do with our guy, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold joined one other name with quarterbacks with back-to-back 14-plus win seasons in NFL history. Who do you think the one name is?
Probably Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, it feels like if there's ever one other name in quarterback things, it's probably Tom Brady.
And here's the interesting thing about it. Sam Darnold's the first to do it with two different franchises in back-to-back years.
May I ask you a question?
Yep.
Is it Sam Darnold or is it two defenses he's been playing with back-to-back years?
I think that has something to do with it. But let's not, you know.
I'm just saying. Like,
I don't want
a lot like Tom Brady.
Listen, he's had good teams and good coaches surrounding him.
So, right.
Like, that's part of it, and that's the reason offense. Like, his I said this before the season. I don't know if people remember it, but I remember everybody going after the Seahawks saying, you brought Geno back to life. Why are you moving off Geno? Then they give Sam Darnold a big deal after 1 year of really good production in the MVP race with the Vikings, and everybody said, this is a stupid deal. But in the end of the day, exactly what Sam Darnold ran with the Vikings last year, that Kevin O'Connell run the ball, mash the other team, show physicality, get to play action, that's exactly, I mean, bar for bar, what he is doing with the Seattle Seahawks. So I said way back then, this was a good trade of quarterbacks.
Oh, yeah.
And it feels like Sam Darnold will have a successful year, and then we see what happened with the Raiders. I already had always had my doubts. Didn't think they'd be this bad. Pete Carroll got fired today for a good reason. But I didn't think it'd be this bad, but I didn't expect it to be as good as the Seahawks, even in the preseason. Seahawks have a very, very talented team. Their defense is good. Offensive line's holding up.
Really good
up.
Run game, too.
Mississippi State product, Charles Cross. I don't know if you got to see it today. 4 years, $104 million at left tackle.
Oh, wow.
For the Seattle Seahawks. So they've been able to just build it. After the Legion of Boom, there were some tough moments there. I don't think they ever really bottomed out in a bad way.
No.
But there's been, since that, they've just had these incremental improvements, it feels like, every year. Whether it's coaching, defense, definitely at the quarterback position. They seem to have found the right stuff with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, they just have a very, very good defense and a quarterback who has talent and one of the best receivers in the NFL in JSN. Like, George and I were talking about it last week. I think maybe you were talking about it too. If you were having to pick between Puka and JSN, there's a real conversation about who was the best wide receiver in the NFL this year. I think that JSN at the moment had like a slight advantage in terms of counting stats, but
yeah,
Puka had missed some time.
1,700 yards.
So it's like, I mean, unbelievable years from them. But I think one of the keys of the Seahawks is they have that running game. Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet are very good in the backfield. And when you go and you look at the stats, it's kind of funny. Kenneth Walker has all the yards.
And
Charbonnet has
all the
touchdowns. Yeah.
All of them. What's funny about that,
it's
I think
12-5.
Kenneth Walker can run a little bit at the goal line. He's not like a finesse back.
Yeah, it's been working.
He's sort of a well. It works. So I'm not going to mess with success. But I would hate to be. In general, the Kenneth Walker in general in that situation where I'm getting 15 to 20 carries per game, but I'm not getting any carries around the goal line.
I think I saw a stat where, despite the difference in yards, like 1,000 to 730, they finished, I think, the same for weekly totals in fantasy,
because
like
the
weekly
touchdowns.
Average because of the touchdowns. Yeah.
Yep. Also, wanted to just get this out there before we move on to the CFP and what I saw from the CFP, especially that game between Indiana and Alabama.
Hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Hmm. That was
safety issue?
Maybe. Beat them by more than Tulane got beat by Ole Miss. Just saying.
It just means more.
What was the deal with a lot of these teams deciding to balk at the idea of going for a better seed? Right?
Yeah, a lot of people sat guys.
Yeah.
Lots.
Yeah, when they could. It was different between a 2 or a 3 seed. I guess that's not that big of a difference. It's the NFL. You're playing a good competition once you get to the playoffs. But Bears, Eagles, you know, I was confused by the whole thing. Like, why not try to get the best seed possible?
Is there an idea that home field doesn't matter as much, or were they saying
we
would
prefer?
It's not
about home field. If you're locked into home field, that would be something to play for. I don't think there was any team that had that attached to it that didn't play their guys that decided to.
I think just health.
The idea.
It's just health.
But I think it's just about health.
Yeah, this has been a crazy year of injury in the NFL. You want to be healthy,
but at the same time, when you have a chance to play from seed 3 to seed 2 and play a worse team in the wild card round, I feel like you should take that opportunity.
I mean, they also may have looked at the matchups and said the team that we're locked
it's
up against right now
difference.
Is better for us than previous, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, if you're the Bears, would you rather play the Packers or the 49ers right now?
I don't want to play a team 3 times.
That's true.
Well, I mean, both extremely injured. I could make a strong – I mean – the 49ers are handling the injuries a whole lot better than the Packers.
Right.
So, like, if I'm just a 1-for-1, yeah, I'm taking the Packers. I'd play the Packers. But in the end of the day, that's 3 times playing the same team with all that you've put on film already.
I'm going to be honest.
Both those games were knockdown, drag-out fights, too.
I'm happy it played out this way because I love the matchups. I think that they're fun. They're interesting. There's a storyline with almost every single one of them. Big fan of the matchup, so I don't mind at all that they sack guys.
All right, now I loved the matchups in the quarterfinal of the CFP, but I will say this: I did not expect really any of these games to go in the direction they did, and the full, you know, meaning of it. Like Indiana, I expected them to win, not 38-3 over Alabama. What are we doing? And here's what's hilarious about Indiana in their current situation. They just took a SEC team behind the woodshed, and that Alabama program, their fans, I don't know how they're feeling right now. Not good, right? Not good. You won a CFP game, but at what cost? You got to meet this Indiana team and get pounded in the face, and you got shown.
Phrasing.
You got shown, truthfully, that you're not on that level under Kalen DeBoer right now.
It's got to be one of, if not the worst feeling a team has had walking out of the college football playoff with a win.
Ty Simpson gets hurt along the way. They muster 17 carries for 23 yards.
Just BTA.
Ryan Williams the entire year, where's he been? He had 6 catches for 53 yards in this game, but that was mostly in not meaningful moments. On the other side, Fernando Mendoza, phenomenal, about as efficient as possible. He came the first quarterback. He went 14 for 16, 192 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 interception. First quarterback in CFP history to have more touchdown passes than incompletions.
Huge fan of him. Huge fan.
And then running the ball, just pick your poison. Who cares? That offensive line's great. Pat Coogan, shout out to the center, winning the Rose Bowl MVP. That's a good time. I loved that. Fernando Mendoza and all of the his teammates were cheering for him. But 99 yards from Kalen Black. What was it? 89 yards from Roman Hemby. This team, I know that we can get caught up in the logos. I think that game went about as far as it could have to say, okay, drop any bias you have against the Indiana logo. They are for real. They're the national championship favorites, and they deserve to be.
That's what I talked to Cobb about it on Wednesday, and we were saying that we feel like everybody was getting caught up in the logo battle when talking about this game because, one, Kurt Cignetti had a reason to want to go out there and bury Alabama, and he absolutely did. The memes and the videos of him not cracking a smile the entire time that game was happening, phenomenal. But Indiana was the better team. We had evidence that they were the better team. They took down a team like Ohio State. They had proven that they can beat good teams in big situations. And Alabama just felt like they kind of limped their way in and kind of snuck in.
But then after the Oklahoma game.
Might say the same about Oklahoma. Like they may have been able to sneak in. And it just felt like everybody was giving Alabama credit for a team that they didn't actually have. And they were dismissing Indiana because it was Indiana. And, well, Mendoza, he won the Heisman as more of a team award than an individual award this year. And all those things felt like they were the narrative heading into the game. And Cobb and I were like, we kind of feel like Indiana's going to bury them. And guess what? They did.
I didn't think they'd bury them. I thought that Indiana would win
and cover. I thought they would
win
and cover. Yeah. Yes. I don't know if I expected 38-3.
I know we have a lot of SEC fans in the audience, but if you paid attention to the facts on the table at the moment before this game was played, you have an undefeated team who won the Big Ten, very good in close games. They have a quarterback who doesn't
ball
over.
Really good defense.
Really good defense. stops the run better than just about anybody in the country. You can't run the ball. And then their back end holds up because they get after the passer so well. They had 5 sacks in the Big Ten championship game against Julian Sand and Ohio State. So, like, I just looked at everything, and I'm looking at the matchups, and I said, "What? Why does anyone think Alabama is going to win this game?" And ultimately, the answer is, I think people are still bought into the idea of the SEC, which brings me to my next point. 3-7. 3-7.
Sheesh.
As we sit here today, 4-9, actually. 4-9 with the games that were played most recently. 4-9 is the record of SEC teams in the postseason. What do we do with that information? Because I'll tell you what I do with that information. I think the Big Ten, this is the best explanation I have. Big Ten still has a consolidation of power where a lot of the recruits in those particular neck of the woods, and they do national recruiting as well, but a lot of the recruits from those, and obviously Kurt Cignetti, I'm going to add another, preface this with another thing. Kurt Cignetti's an alien, okay? So he goes and gets, you know, transfers from James Madison and just turns them into 5 stars, if you will. But I feel like the consolidation of power in the Big Ten is such where a lot of those regional recruits still go to the same places.
Right.
Ohio State, Michigan, Indiana's going to be added to that. But you get Oregon, right? A lot of the regional recruits from their places end up right there. So like the NIL era, paying players money hasn't affected them in the same way that the SEC has been affected. Because the SEC, you don't have the same consolidation. Vandy just flipped a five-star quarterback recruit from Georgia.
Right.
Like, the SEC is feasting upon each other, not just on the field week to week, but on the recruiting trail. And that, to me, is the best explanation I have to what we're seeing in this. Let's be honest. It seems to be a bit of a growing gap from the top of the Big Ten, at the top of the sport, top of the Big Ten and the top of the SEC. There is a growing gap. The Big Ten is getting what seems to be, at the moment, exponentially better than the top of the SEC.
That seems fair.
Now, Ole Miss could save us. You know, Ole Miss could completely rewrite this without a coach and all
what
that.
What a win. What an incredible win for Ole Miss.
I mean, it's wild to see the SEC and the struggles that they've had. But, yes, as you mentioned, great win for Ole Miss. Awesome win for Ole Miss. Trinidad Chambliss, I thought, was great. Defense, not great, but timely, I guess. Kawan Lacey. 22 carries, 98 yards, two touchdowns, and I had Georgia as my national title favorite.
I did too.
And here's Ole Miss doing it without a freaking head coach. And really, I think the narrative has changed there to a certain extent. It feels like a lot of those Ole Miss players, while some may end up at LSU, totally understand that, with Lane Kiffin, feels like they're sort of rallying against Lane Kiffin and the credit he has taken for this Ole Miss team.
I had a theory and that was my theory.
It's kind of working out as a rallying cry for that entire roster.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
I don't know if you saw what Xavier Harris, their big D lineman, said after beating Georgia in the quarterfinals. He said, that's what Kiffin tried to do. He tried to be a damn announcer, trying to be a troll. We were going to troll him. We got something for him. He was trying to steal our shine. That's all he tried to do. That's all he's been trying to do is steal our shine.
Wow.
So, like, I as much as we looked at this and said Lane Kiffin not being the coach for Ole Miss is going to be an inhibitor to success for that Ole Miss football team, to me, after having watched that Georgia game as well, it seems like it's become an advantage for them. Is that crazy to say?
No, that before the playoffs started, I don't know if you remember, but I offered a theory of this team, because of the clown show that Lane Kiffin put on leaving, he created a major league situation for Ole Miss. Win in spite of Lane Kiffin. He gave them an extra bulletin board material, and we can go out there and prove that it was more us than it was Kiffin. And they've rallied around Pete Golding. He seems to be the perfect guy to take on the job. Players seem to love him. And he's basically just like, just keep doing what you were doing. I'm not going to change much.
I mean, he said he was the defense. He's still the defensive coordinator.
Trinidad Chambliss, he turned into Patrick Mahomes in that game. It was unreal
now,
to watch.
Today, I don't know if you saw the news.
I did. I was going to ask you about this.
He signed a deal to return to Ole Miss in the event he gets the extra waiver. What's your question?
He should go to the draft. This dude should go to the draft.
As well as he's played, he's not. Age may say, just go. Strike while the iron's hot.
That's what I'm saying.
I get that. Yeah. And you don't know what, like, Pete Golding, offensive guy he brings in. Is it going to be the same? I get that.
Are you ever going to be at this level?
I get that.
Maybe he will.
But have you seen what they're paying quarterbacks? Have you seen it? Brendan Sorsby just got $5 million.
What's the rookie contract for quarterbacks?
It's higher if you're a first-round pick, but he's not that.
No, hey, what, third or fourth is what I've been seeing?
I mean, I don't blame him for his decision if he gets that waiver. Now, should he get that waiver? I don't know. I mean, is it Ferris State having a lot of success? Is it a hardship waiver? I'm still not clear on that whole thing. But that would be a big win for Ole Miss.
Huge win. Huge win. And a middle finger to Lane.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, they need it, to be honest with you, because Austin Simmons is gone heading to the Sioux. So they're going to have to replenish that quarterback room one way or another, whether it's this offseason getting 3-4 guys or next offseason getting 3 or 4 guys.
Yeah. So if he comes back and he there's no doubt he could come back, have an amazing year, be in the Heisman conversation. He has that sort of talent. I'm just thinking with his age and where he's peaking right now, it feels like going to the NFL draft would make sense for him. But I also understand if he wants to come back and make a ton of money, win the Heisman, blah, 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 blah. I do want to ask you, was Ole Miss beating Georgia more shocking than Miami beating Ohio State?
For me, yes.
Yes.
Because it was the conversation around Miami and Ohio State was a little strange to me. I know Miami lost 2 unranked games in the midst of this season, and there was a lot of drama on them getting in or staying out, and the Notre Dame drama. But
Notre Dame was a big topic of conversation this past weekend.
I truly, truly believe Miami has the chance to win it all. And I thought that at the beginning of the year. Obviously, the 2 unranked losses made me think a little bit differently. I was annoyed that a team with that much talent could stoop that low. But we have to remember who their head coach is. It's Mario Cristobal. He does that. But they've always had what they're showing right now. They don't have to win games on Carson Beck's arm and throw the ball a million times. Reuben Bain Jr. and Akeem Mesidor are freakish. They're crazy. And it seems like when they're called out, especially in these big moments, which college football playoff games, I'm not sure if you know this, all big moments, when they have those opportunities, they show through every single time. 2 sacks for Akeem Mesidor in that game against Ohio State. Reuben Bain Jr. had 1 sack, and he wrecked the first quarter for Ohio State's offense. They could do nothing on him. He was ridiculous. There was a stretch play. I don't know if you saw the clip of this or just watched the game and saw it. Stretch play. He takes the big-ass left tackle and stretches it out to the sideline, makes the tackle while being blocked. Tackles. I mean, that defensive line, they are nasty to deal with, especially when they're motivated.
Yeah, and that's why it's just Ole Miss-Miami feels like a matchup no one expected.
Semifinals. Really, I mean, if I told you going into the season, the Final Four would be Indiana, Oregon, Ole Miss, Miami.
I'd be like, 2 of the 4 makes sense.
Yeah, but honestly, like, as the season went along, I think people lost faith in Oregon.
Not on this show, Gabe. Not on this show.
And I certainly think people lost faith in Miami after the two unranked losses. Like,
I lost faith in Miami fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're completely back. But these two matchups are going to be really fun. Ole Miss Miami, we're just talking about it. Miami, what they do well can be nullified by Ole Miss. Like, their defensive pass rush, their ability to get after the passer, create turnovers that way. I think Ole Miss has the stuff with Trinidad Chambliss to get past that to a certain extent. A lot of RPO concepts, getting the ball out fast, and Trinidad Chambliss can escape. He's not a guy who's just going to be standing back there getting pummeled. So that matchup really intrigues me. Indiana-Oregon rematch obviously intrigued me in a different way. But Ole Miss-Miami, Miami's played well, really good D-line. They've wrecked every game they've been a part of, but Ole Miss plays differently, especially offensively. So I would not close the door on Ole Miss potentially winning that ball game.
Especially with the F. Lane Kiffin factor.
Yep.
Trying to prove. Is there anything to say about Texas Tech-Oregon? Really anything?
No. I guess what I would say is going into the game, I said, I just want to learn if Texas Tech has an offense. And I learned it.
They don't.
They don't. They had no, there was nothing they could do. And they even got down Baron Morton with a tight red zone interception. Come on, brother. I mean, they moved the ball at moments throughout that game. But after Oregon's first touchdown, I never thought that Texas Tech would ever have a chance to win it.
I do like that. Of the Final Four, I understand that two of them are not teams I expected to be here, but I can see a viable pathway to a championship for all four teams. Like, any four of them winning now makes sense.
Rank, okay, let's do an exercise then.
Okay.
Rank them most likely to least likely.
I think it's probably Indiana, Oregon, Miami, Ole Miss.
I got Indiana, Miami, Oregon, Ole Miss.
Okay.
If Oregon gets through Indiana, I think they can win it all, but I don't think they'll get
That's
through Indiana.
Part that, of it's me feels matchup. Like whoever wins that game probably wins the national championship, but what I've seen from Miami and their defense in this college football playoff, I don't want to bet against them anymore. Like, it's I'm not going to assume that they will lose a game.
Sure, sure. Although, it's...
Ole Miss would be fun. God, they would be
but
fun
Miami,
if they won it all.
Can you kind of assume?
I don't know.
Do,
that, it's,
they do this.
I have the least amount of faith in their quarterback, which...
But he doesn't have to do much if the defense plays like that.
That's my point is, even though I have the least amount of faith in Carson Beck than any of the quarterbacks left, his defense is so damn
and,
good.
Listen, it's kind of funny to say that about Carson Beck because he is... Let me do the math here real quick. Yeah, he has the most experience of any quarterback left in
sure.
these situations.
Does but it, I think the other I don't know.
And he's also I saw these stats as well, 15-3 all time against AP ranked opponents, and I believe he is now something like 6-0 this year against ranked opponents. Miami is.
So I'd like, be curious what his stats are in those
what's
games.
What's funny is I agree with you. But if we're just going off base knowledge of the situation, and I hadn't watched Carson Beck and seen his, you know, throw off the back foot up in the air and get picked
double
off, the double tap, if I hadn't seen him play, I would say, hey, Miami has as good a shot as anybody. You may not like their quarterback, but he's a deeply experienced quarterback that wins big games.
Yeah.
He loses the crappy ones. He lost the unranked ones this year, so... There's that. Now let's go ahead and grab a break. When we come back, we'll talk some basketball in the city of Memphis right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress, Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Back into the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. While I was out, we had some basketball played in the city of Memphis. Tigers and Grizzlies. We'll start with the Tigers. Tigers have been 3-0 in their last three. They have a three-game winning streak. Now, let's talk about who they were against. Two games at home, Alabama State and North Texas, then they went on the road and beat Rice. Come from behind win against Rice, if you can believe that. They were down 32-31 at half. I'm going to ask this, and this is ridiculous coming from a sports talk radio host. What is there to say that hasn't already been said about this team at this particular moment? Like, how do you tailor the conversation to talk about this particular team? Sitting there at 7-7, they have 33 turnovers in these first two wins in conference. They beat a not very good North Texas team by 9 at home, beat a awful, miserable, is there another adjective I could use? Terrible Rice team by 6 after having a halftime deficit. I have no idea who's going to play, when they're going to play. I don't know what the starting lineup's going to look like. I mean, that sums up the situation at the moment. I think that you can continue to win games against bad competition, roll your way through the American. You can still get into the tournament, but I don't know what exactly to say about this team outside of that. It's just still unknown 14 games into the season. And I think what I do know is that this is probably, outside of, let's exclude year one, year two, and I think maybe that team was a little better. This might be the worst team Penny Hardaway's had.
That's definitely the worst team Penny Hardaway's had.
Well, we're talking year one when he...
Maybe two... Maybe a few years.
That's
ago.
Why. That's that, why that's
the collapse
why,
team. Maybe.
But the collapse team.
They're still winning.
They,
games.
Showed ability
beat,
to win.
They
some
beat a couple big teams. This team. We've talked about it. They don't inspire much confidence. They don't really inspire anything. They're winning, but right now, just keep winning.
Yeah.
If it's going to take these horrific, ugly wins to keep rolling, then do it that way. The one thing that I do want to see is consistency with the starting lineup. Penny, I do think, needs to land on a starting lineup sometime soon because you are in conference play, and I think that you need some consistency with roles heading into the later parts of the season, especially before the conference tournament. But, I mean, the win against North Texas was truly one of the ugliest basketball games ever watched
awful.
In my entire existence. And then
expect.
The Rice one was about the same way. It felt like I was being tortured, a Clockwork Orange, having to watch these basketball games, but they're winning. And ultimately, in the American, and right now for this Tigers team, just win.
Yep.
Win in any fashion it takes. Just win these games because you cannot, under any circumstance, afford to lose them.
No. The Tigers were 4-for-15 from the free throw line in that North Texas game, and both teams combined 6-for-36 from three.
God. The turnovers were insane.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't catch anything but the I guess we could call them highlights. That game.
It was survive. Just survive these games.
Yeah. But yeah, that kind of, like, because here's the thing: you talk about a starting lineup, and I jive with that. I agree with you. Having a consistent starting lineup usually helps with roles.
Yes.
And pecking order, which yes. have been consistent issues under Penny Hardaway that he's figured out sometimes, some years, and not figured out other years. But I don't blame him. Like, I can't sit here and say this needs to be your starting five. Because if you were picking a starting five, you'd have a hell of a time. Because Zach Davis is really the hero of the North Texas game. Comes off the bench, gives you 12. So what does Penny Hardaway do? In smart fashion, what a smart basketball coach says, hey, let's start that guy. I think he can do something. He follows it up with an 0-for-5 performance from the field, 0-for-3 from three. So, like, as much as I want to sit here and say Penny needs to figure out a pecking order, Penny needs to figure out a starting lineup, I'm just as lost as him with who those guys are supposed to be.
Maybe. I think you, at this point, though, you should, I think, look at your roster and you have enough of a sample size to say, which games have these guys been the best
well,
at?
Well, like, I guess coming the off sample the bench, size do he they... does have is who shouldn't play.
Sure.
Probably.
I do think, though, at this point, he has enough of a sample size to say, when I start this guy, it usually looks like this. When this guy comes off the bench, it usually looks like this. You've got to go off of that. We know that Doug McDaniel's a starter. We know he's absolutely going to be a starter. Mostly, it's just you've got to figure out your starting lineup. You've got to figure out a combination. If you don't want to play these guys huge minutes when they start, fine. I just think that defined roles for college basketball players are a big deal. And one of the reasons I think that the Tigers have been sloppy is it's different groups playing together based on however Penny wants to start the game. And
yeah,
it's
and how,
that
the,
can
the
be
feel.
Difficult. It's just it's not leading to good basketball. It's led to wins, but it's because you're playing dead bodies.
I'm gonna bear with me on this because we'll talk about the Grizzlies in a second. You know, coach for the Grizzlies, Tomas Isolo, who's very some feel throughout the game, but he's got his substitution patterns, right?
Yeah,
they have Hardaway. Is it all feel? It's kind of all like, okay, what's this game look like? Because I don't think any one particular player. Maybe with the exception of Doug McDaniel, but he's had some stinkers too.
He's been their best player
well,
this
but
year.
Like, I don't think there's any one player that has earned like the hey, I'm going to start you. You're going to play. You can work through a slump. Like, I don't think there's any one particular player outside of Doug McDaniel that has that in Penny Hardaway's mind, or really in any fan's mind.
Yeah, I don't trust any of them outside of Doug.
Right,
he's the only guy that I trust Curtis Givens too.
Okay,
I think, but I also like Curtis Givens coming off
but
the bench.
Yeah, it's hard for you can't have Doug and yeah. Curtis all.
So it's we know what two guys' roles are. Curtis Givens seems to be the main bench player, and Doug seems to be your bona fide starter and best player. Everything after that, though, who knows? I just think that you have enough of a sample size now to where you have to make a decision. Yeah. At least and see how it plays out more than one game at a time. Like, give it at least a two-game stretch. You're in conference play. You have more talent. You should be able to win ugly if it is going to be ugly. I just think that before these games really, really start to matter, you've got to figure it out.
Yeah, you have to have some consistency. Yeah. It's just how it works. If you're not going to have any consistency year to year with the continuity, you have to find some guys that you trust and roll with.
I also don't know if I love the idea of, well, you did well last game, you've earned a start, but if you don't do well in your starting performance, you then go back to the bench.
No,
That feels too pressure packed. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's too short of a leash. Let's see what these guys do one or like two games in a row. And then if you want to roll with the starting lineup for two games and it's not working, then switch it. But just game to game to game to game, it being a different starting lineup every time feels chaotic.
But I will say, I think you'd yield the same or similar. Obviously,
maybe.
We don't know because we haven't done it. But I think you'd yield the same or similar results, even if you did a two-game sample size of the same lineup.
Maybe so.
All right, now for the Grizzlies, new year, same problems.
New injury.
Cedric Howard.
Great.
I mean,
he looked awesome.
Come on.
He looked awesome.
For real. At some point, this has to stop. It has to. And Ja Morant's got the nagging calf contusion. You have Santi Aldama, who's been a godsend off the bench, and I don't know if he's getting enough credit for it. I mean, the shooting streak, the shooting heater he's been on is unbelievable. But he's got an ankle, nagging ankle injury. We still haven't seen Ty Jerome. Zach Edey's still out. Brandon Clark's still out. Scottie Pippen Jr. hasn't played a game. Vince Williams Jr. is on the tendonitis with his patella. I mean, who's going to be out there? Who's playing? And what frustrates me is I'm not even particularly angry that they're on a four-game losing streak because I understand why it is. They have gone into the fourth quarter in every single one of these games with a chance to win the ball game. They were up in three. They were tied in the fourth. And they've lost all four games because I get the sense that the guys that actually have to play every night, they get tuckered out by the fourth quarter. They're tired. They're having to run up and down the floor. We know it's a fast-paced style. Yeah, they've had some struggles here and there. But in the end of the day, they just don't have enough available bodies to win those close games when the going gets tough. And I think it's becoming more apparent to me game after game.
Yeah, they just don't have the talent right now to compete, especially against a team like the Lakers.
But they're doing their darndest, man. They really are.
It just really sucks because in that 13 minutes that Cedric Howard played, I thought I saw heaven. He was unreal.
He really did kind of show, like, premier scorer.
He gets to his spots and creates his own shot in a special way.
Listen, I know that he's already been compared to Kawhi by Draymond Green earlier in the season, but I just want people to understand, like, his ability in the mid-range to get to his spot, get to that fall-away, get to that turnaround, get to that pull-up.
That little fade he
and
does.
And hit it. Mm-hmm. That's number one scorer level stuff. Now, his mindset's not there yet, I don't think, every single game. He's not asked to do that.
Is it mindset or opportunity?
Maybe a mix of both, right? But he's got that.
He's a special player. He's going to be special.
If he
stays healthy.
Listen, I'm not even going to say what that is. You know what that is. This guy could be, truthfully, an all-star in his future.
Absolutely.
It's very, very possible.
And he has a lot of defensive potential that is exciting. I talked to Parker about it last week. He's doing well defensively. We just want to see him start to get to create more chaos, like use his length a little bit more. He's 7'2" wingspan.
The other night,
get more knockaways, a little bit more blocks, but he's getting there.
The other night while I was watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.